It's going to be pretty easy today and probably the next few weeks. And the reason why, I've had a few that have said some things in the past to me about just simple things when it comes to God's Word. And a lot of times, I believe, if we don't keep things in front of us as we study, I'll put myself there. I don't know if I can say this to everybody else, but I know there are things, as you study God's Word and as you look at God's Word, that for years growing up, you just open the Word up and just read it and try to make it say something to you. You ever hear anybody always make up, you know, and say, well, you know, I've read this 30 times and you know, one time I got it this way, but now when I read it, it means this to me. Well, let me tell you, the Word is what the Word says what it is. And there's things we need to keep in front of us as a body of believers that is to be of the same mind, to know that the Word says exactly what it means. And it's important for us to keep things in front of us as we study. I think a big part of the problem in today's time is, and I'm saying this about myself, more than anybody else, for the fact that I know who I am, and I spend time with myself, and I know what I do and don't do. But it seems that there are many that can be a lot like me, is the fact that the problem today is we're so busy. Okay? We become such a busy people that we find shortcuts to everything. And when it comes to God's Word, we can even find ourselves being that way with God's Word. You know, for instance, it not being important enough to have time with His Word, instead we just throw it in when we can. I become busy sometimes where I find myself making excuses for not being responsible as I should. And I know that. And as things go by in life, there's times where some things are harder than other times. You can face release of mom in the hospital for how long? I think 4 days. Who's counting? But anyway, you know, 94. I mean, her schedule changed somewhat. You can look at Erica and Paul Sumian. Their schedule changes. We go through things where our schedule just changes, and it's hard to juggle things to make them fit for a while. But let's face it, as a body of believers that come in here every Sunday and come in here on Wednesdays, and we come together as a body of believers and we say we want this congregation or this assembly to work and we want this assembly to grow, I think none of us would say, well, we don't want it to grow. I think everybody has the heart to want to see it grow and people to come to the understanding. Not so much as in numbers, but to have the understanding. But don't get me wrong, I want numbers too. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I mean, I want numbers too. Absolutely. But you have to, somehow or another, come to a point in your own life and individually focus and see what's important. You know, if God's Word is important because it's by your means of what you live by, then regardless of how our schedule changes, one of the things that should be the utmost important is how we carry it along and make it still fit in our daily life. But sometimes it can be the very thing that you set aside until you make it fit. Does that make sense? And so in saying that, sometimes we forget the basics also in the same way of what we believe. And I find myself at times just, again, open the Word thinking, what do I want to start with? What do I want to do? If you're not careful as a teacher, if you're not careful, you can feel like, well, I wonder what I want to do. It's as if, sometimes as a teacher, I have found myself coming out and being in a position where, like, well, I want to show them something different. You know what I mean? Or I want to do something that's more interesting. Or I want, you know, and you find yourself thinking, I can't, you know what? The issue is, as a teacher, whether you've heard it 100 times or not, the issue is sharing the truth. You know, it's not up to you to bring something different to make somebody enjoy you. It's about that the Word is what's important. As a teacher, you can do that. I don't know, has anybody else felt that way that teach? I mean, you do. You just, something in you, you just, I don't want to come here and want people to not like me. No way, that's just stupid. You say that, I don't care. Yes, you do. You care. I mean, that's just who we are. I don't want, you know, to be not liked, you know. And so we get in that realm sometimes. We can make it important about ourselves more than, you know, if they heard it 100 times, it doesn't matter. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And so with scheduling, with what we make important as teachers, with worried about how they feel about us, the issue is if we just share the truth, God will do the rest. His Word is alive and it's powerful, right? That's what His Word says. So we don't have to worry about if we are responsible as a body of believers. Those are the things that we sometimes will worry about, or what we need to do, or when. Sometimes we need to just leave them alone and just preach the Word. And so this morning we're going to talk about things that are basics. Now I hope, especially young people, and I mean this, that you take a grasp or you have a pen or you have notes or something, because it can help you. Words mean what they say, and there are basics in Bible study that we need to know. And a lot of people forget those basics, and so we're going to back up and go to them for a little while. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Second Timothy chapter 2, 14. Now these are scriptures that many of y'all have heard over and over and over again, as I too have. But you know what? It has been refreshing in this Bible study that I've gone back through it, and it has helped me. So I hope it's helpful to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, the Word of God says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." As a workman, that, by the way, that's what you are as a believer. When you start, when you trusted in Christ and the Holy Spirit baptized you and you were saved, okay, you became a workman. Not an issue of doing works for your salvation or having to do, but you became part of the body of Christ as a work so that others could see the truth, right? And it's sad to know that we have this word in front of us every day. I don't think any of you have a problem with your having been able to reach out to get to your word. I don't think anybody here struggles with that. But the issue is today is if we are not careful as a body of believers, we become so busy that when the time comes where we can minister to others, that we become ashamed because we've not been in our word enough to know how to share the truth. Or, you know what's bad? We should be ashamed of that, should we not? A lot of times we learn how to just be numb. Say, well, I just have to have a chance. Well, I just have to know what it is. Well, you know what? I need to get started here. Those are all excuses that are no good when it comes to the body of Christ. You have to decide what is important in your life, right? And make those decisions. As a body of believers, we need to be in our Word knowing this truth, that we need to study, that we need to divide the Word rightly, so that when the time comes as we minister, we are not found being ashamed or maybe being embarrassed or maybe feeling not good enough to be able to share. That's a sad position to put ourselves in when we know the truth. Am I right? We don't need to be in that position. These verses give clear instruction in regard to how we can study the Bible in a manner that we can really understand it. Today, there's a lot of misunderstanding in the Bible. Would you agree? Today, look around you. We have this group, and Steve may have about, 70 maybe? 75 is about what they average. You would think in Ringgold and all the way to Hickson, there would be more that would be hungry for the truth. But the problem is many today sit in churches and congregations and they are misunderstanding of what the Scriptures say because
They have studied wrongly, and they have divided wrongly, right? So the last thing we need to be is in a position to where we can't share rightly with people. Because let's face it, the issue is there are many that are misunderstanding that when they leave this world, they will die and go to hell. That's exactly what will happen. Because to not know the truth is a major issue. To know the truth is what sets you free, right? What sets you free is trusting in what Christ did, not being misunderstanding of what the Scriptures say, because the Word of God is truth, right? They won't get it any other way. Another person that doesn't understand the Scriptures will not get it any other way. Your friends won't. Your family won't. It won't happen. So you have to come to the issue of what's important. I would hope, as a body of believers that study their Word, that the Word becomes important for the sake of their lives. Right? And as a pastor of this church, this needs to be preached so you can understand the importance of why you need to know the Word rightly divided. There's more misunderstanding than there is understanding when it comes to the Word of God. Even though there's a simple way to understand the Bible, for many years I was caught up in a religious system, and I would read many times. I would see different verses that said two different things. There's many times I can remember when I was caught up in the religious system. It's not been that long ago, 5 years, 6 years. And there were scriptures that I would read in the Word that I would see other scriptures that were saying the direct opposite. Okay? And there are many today that see that. And you know what we do? We either learn to ignore it. We either learn to say, well, that's just God. And, you know, we just learn to reason things when the Word is not that hard to understand. If you're somebody that has trouble opening your Word and having an understanding, the most significant thing is probably you don't know how to rightly divide it. I can remember in Scriptures when I was caught up in the religious system, there were Scriptures in this Word of truth that when you compared them together, they would contradict each other. Now, there's a lot of people that will tell you, well, there's no contradictions. Well, I beg to differ. There are contradictions in this Bible. You know what? There are contradictions, but there are no errors in this Bible. Okay? There are no errors at all. It's perfect. But there are contradictions. You can't take times past and things of this dispensation and say there's not contradictions, because if you mesh them together, you will see them clearly. Amen? But the one thing we can say is there are no errors at all. There's information that contradicts itself when you don't rightly divide the Bible, is what there are. Everybody divides the Bible somewhere. Sometimes a lot of people say, why do you make so much out of dividing the Bible? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Whether we made anything, when I never talked about it before, you go 5, 6 years back when I never talked about dividing the Bible, you know what I did? I divided the Bible. Most people today will divide the Bible from where? They think of what? Old Testament and New Testament, right? Everybody growing up did that. Everybody divides the Word of truth somewhere. Most people look at their Word and they divide it. And of course we knew that they would divide it between from Malachi and then go to Matthew, and you had your Old Testament and your New Testament. That's how I grew up. That's how denominations today divide the Word. Okay? Most churches today even consider themselves New Testament churches. I mean, that's one thing you have got to overcome when you share the Word of truth. Because most churches today believe they are a New Testament church. I remember that, just saying it like that. But, you know, you get excited about it. You can draw an emotion out of being a New Testament church, when that's not a truth. And rightly dividing the Word You need to know how to share that truth with somebody so they can understand it. But most of them consider themselves that. They don't study, they don't take heed to the doctrine of the Old Testament today. There's a lot of churches that won't, but some still do. Whether one does or doesn't, though, somewhere they will make a division in the Word of Truth. Somewhere along the line, everybody makes a division. Everybody. Now, it's got to be said, if you can rightly divide the Word of Truth, you agree it can be done, it has to be said, if you can rightly divide it, then you can wrongly divide the Word of Truth, right? So what does it mean to rightly divide the Word of Truth? Well, I think, first of all, we just need to start and go back a little bit. Just for a little bit of history before we get into next week. Many today, let's look at what they call the New Testament. After Malachi, we know there's four books that you have after Malachi that most Bibles call them the four Gospels. Okay? And so, after Malachi, we know you have the New Testament, which is starting with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know that. That's clear. And many call these the four Gospels. In these Gospels, what do you have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, you've got all of them have the birth of Christ. I mean, they're all four together, you'll see the birth of Christ. Of course, we know Mark where it starts. You also have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. In those four books, you find the death, the burial. You find the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You also find the teachings of the 12, right? You'll find the teachings of the 12. And you'll find also the teachings of others during this time. This is exactly what you'll see, okay, in the New Testament, or in the four Gospels. All these end with the death, burial, and the resurrection, and the time following that, where Christ is instructing the 12 what to preach and what to look for. So we know when we study our Bible, when we open our Word, it should be clear that we know what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do. Okay? It should be a clear understanding. Then, of course, after that, what do you have? You have the book of Acts. This is the book names exactly what it says. It's an act. It's the Acts of the Apostles is what it is. In this book, in chapters 1 through 7, you have these 12 apostles. And of course, we know Judas is replaced by Matthias, right? But we know in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, and in the book of Acts, okay, that you have, through those chapters, those things that Christ preached. We know through that period we have where you have the birth of Christ. During that period you have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You also have His teachings of the 12 and also others during this time. In these chapters you have these preaching exactly what Christ had told them to preach. Okay, if you study, if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you go through the first seven chapters of Acts, you're going to find people teaching and preaching exactly what Jesus Christ told them to preach. Right? That's what you're going to see. Those are things that are important to remember because there are many today that will only preach out of those four books. And you're going to see a difference when you rightly divide the Word of Truth. In Acts 7, we'll go there and we'll see where Stephen is stoned to death. Then in Acts 9, okay, you have the salvation of who was Saul but becomes the Apostle Paul, right? Now after he is saved, though, you'll see the first message of him from Acts chapter 13. And the things that he preaches are different than what we heard from chapter 7 and back. Now, there are churches today that will tell you we divide the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are churches today that will tell you that it's all the same, it's just that as though Paul got saved. There are many that will tell you many different things, but if you study your Bible,
you will find from Acts 7 back, okay, before Paul was ever saved, before he ever became the apostle, when he was Saul and was trying to persecute this very church and stamp out what was important to them, the name of Christ, you'll find in chapter 13, Paul does not preach the same message that these others preach. But yet people today everywhere tell you it's the same thing. That's exactly what they'll do.
After Acts, you're going to find one other place where the... After Acts 13, or after chapter 7, you're going to find one other place where the 12 are mentioned. After that, in the book of Acts, it's all about the ministry of Paul. This is what you're going to find. Now, why would those others not continue to be mentioned after Acts chapter 7? Because things are different. Because there's a division that has taken place. And it's not because of the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is wrong within itself. Because we know in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the testator, who is who? Jesus Christ does not die on the cross until the end of every one of those books. Without the death of a testator, you cannot have a new covenant. Right? So it's not New Testament. Then, of course, the next 13 books are Romans through Philemon, and these are all, every one of these are written by Paul. Every one of these books are written by Paul. Right? We know that. And then after that, you have what? Hebrews through Revelations. No doubt, according to the Scriptures, let me make clear. According to the Scriptures, okay, all the Bible is written for us. All of it is. Romans tells us that it's profitable. Right? Okay? It needs to be all studied. I believe all the Bible should be studied. Okay? It's all inspired. Right? Whether we're in this dispensation, all the Word of God is inspired. It's all inspired, none more than any other. Paul's letters are no more inspired than any other scriptures in the Bible. It's all inspired. No different book is more perfect than another. They're all perfect. Right? The only difference, though, is that there are 13 books out of this Bible that was written not just for us, but written to us as members of the church, the body of Christ. One thing you have got to remember as you study your Word is that there are different churches through this book. Okay? There was a Jewish church, okay? And there is the church, the body of Christ, that never comes about until the Apostle Paul is saved. Right? It's a different church. You can go to Acts chapter 1 through 7 and you can see the admission that the church was added to David. Can't you? But let me tell you, that was a Jewish church preaching those very things that Christ told them to preach. But when the Apostle Paul is saved and he becomes the Apostle Paul, okay, there is a new church. Not a New Testament church, but we're not under covenant promises, are we? It's a church that is the body. It's who you are if you're saved. If you are a saved individual here this morning trusting in what Christ did at the cross, you are part of the body of Christ. And we all work together as a body. That's why it's so important that Paul brings up in Corinthians of being of the same mind. Because it's important that we understand the Scriptures so that we can minister to others, the body, and those that are not part of the body right now. Right? The only way you can do it is not to be ashamed. The only way you can not be ashamed is to study. The only way you can study and get it right is to rightly divide the Word. If you can't make sense of this, you're going to miss it.
That's why this is up here. We don't mention a lot, but this board is extremely important for you. And if you can't understand anything else right now, I can assure you a lot of times it's because you're not back to the basics so that others can understand.
And it is important. The only difference is that there are 13 books out of this Bible that is written directly to you. Why is that so important for us to know that? I'm glad you asked. Go to Romans chapter 11 and look at verse 13. Why do we make much of Paul?
Why do we make much of everything here in Romans through Philemon?
And in the Acts of Paul in the book of Acts. In Romans 11:13, if we believe the Bible is all inspired, and we believe it's perfect, and we believe it's inerrant, and it's written by Paul's handwriting or somebody that Paul's telling them what to write, but through the Holy Spirit. Right? Paul didn't write it because, or he didn't tell somebody to write it just because he thought, well, this will be a good thing to say. God penned this book. And in Romans 11:13 it says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle." It doesn't say as much as I am one of the apostles. It doesn't say as much as I'm with the other 12, because he's not. It says, "Inasmuch as I am the apostle." Okay, that's extremely, we can see that it is singular, right? He is the apostle of the Gentiles. He does what? He magnifies mine office. Is that like Paul's in charge now? No. His office, it's just like you, if you sell insurance for State Farm, you may have a singular office, right? But who you work for? State Farm, right? Paul is magnifying this office that was given to him. The office was what? The good news. The good news of
these four Gospels? No, it was the good news that Christ died for our sins. That Christ was dead and buried and resurrected. That Christ forgave us of all our sins. It's the good news that trusting in Him and Him alone saves our soul. Right?
That's the good news. And He magnifies that office. And you'll see them written nowhere else but in Romans through Philemon.
Well, if he's magnifying his office, and it's the same office as everybody else, then why are these so different? Because they're divided. There's the Jewish church, then there's the church, the body of Christ. There's a difference, a major difference.
He calls the gospel that he preached my gospel. He says that we are to be established according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Guess how many times the revelation of the mystery is mentioned in different places besides Paul's letters? That'd be none. Okay? He says that the mystery was committed unto him. Galatians 2:7. Galatians 2:7, the Word of God says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." Is there a division here? I mean, there's a division. I can't tell you how many times I've showed somebody this scripture and they just like wish it away. Or they just like, they never heard what I said. You know, it's selective hearing. You know, whether they have selective hearing or not, it's still truth. There's an issue here that something was given to Paul and that something was given to Peter. Right? They saw this good news of the uncircumcision. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. I just want you to see how personal Paul makes this. In Ephesians 3:2, the Word of God says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to Eward. It's pretty clear that it was given to Paul, and it was given to Paul. He magnifies his office to be given to you. So that when we share the truth, we won't be what? Ashamed. Right? All the Bible needs to be studied. Don't get me wrong this morning. All the Bible needs to be studied. All the Bible is true, and we can benefit from all the Bible. Right? Absolutely. But the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is found exclusively in Paul's letters. Exclusively in Paul's letters. There are also things that are mentioned elsewhere that repeats what Paul says and have no contradiction that are also could be for today's doctrine. That Paul's letters exclusively are for our doctrine. The most important thing to take note of, though, is that there is a division in our Bible. To say there's not a division is to miss it from the beginning, because there is. It's laid out after the book of Acts. There's 13 epistles by the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's given the dispensation of the grace of God. He's given the gospel of the grace of God. He is called our apostle. Can't tell you how many times I've heard, you just keep making much of Paul. You make so much out of Paul. Well, by the way, he's our apostle. If you don't make much of Paul in your Bible study, you know who you're going to make much of? Moses. And you won't even know it. Right? Because they all go back to the law. You're going to make much of one or the other. Well, I'm making much of Paul or Paul's office. Let me say it that way. He specifically says, why do we make much of Paul? Because he specifically says, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. It's pretty clear here why we make much of Paul and his office. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 1. First Corinthians 11:1, the Word of God says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Why couldn't he just say, be ye followers of Christ? Because following him and the way he followed Christ was absolutely different than what these men did. Right? So you could not follow just Christ. You can't just open your Word, just follow the red letters. Even though there's been many books to teach you how to do that, you'll be rightly dividing wrongly. That didn't make sense. You'll be wrongly dividing. Philippians 3:17. Rightly dividing wrongly. That's terrible. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, we know who he's talking to. Those who are saved, right? Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. It's pretty important to be a follower of Paul, isn't it? It's pretty important to make much of what Paul knew. It has everything to do with your salvation. And it starts off with knowing what the Scripture says. To say it's all the same is not good, and it's not true. And there are many today that you're around every day that we need to share the truth with. And the only way that we can do that is if we know it ourselves. That's why I went through this simple thing. The Bible's not hard. It's not a hard book to understand. As long as you know how to read it. You have to know how. And to know and to believe that there's a right way and a wrong way to divide.
And just because the popularity would tell you, well, it's Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't make it true. Just because most will say it's all the same doesn't make it true. You know how we know that it's true? Because when you rightly divide it, you can compare the Scriptures and you can have clarity and understanding of knowing why these before Paul are different and know why that these even after Paul's letters are different. Because it's a different dispensation. It's how God's dealing with man in a different way. Right? That's how. So I challenge you, as you study your Word, know the basics. Get the basics down. Because there are many around you that don't. One way we can do that is what? It's got to be important. If this is not important, you'll find yourself ashamed. Right? Make it important. If your scheduling doesn't fit around the Word of Truth, you need to change your schedule. Right? It's something that as a body of believers, we need to take hold of and responsibility of. If you can't, then you're going to find yourself that it's not important for others to see it either. Would that be fair to say? One thing I found out in life, I seem to always do what I want to do. I mean, in America, the kind of people that we are, it's amazing. If I can't afford something, but I want it really bad, we just seem to find a way to get it, don't we? Isn't it sad? The fact that knowing that this is what we live by, or this is what we say we live by, but yet it's not important enough to make sure it's our daily life. That's a sad... You know what that is? That's what you would call hypocritical. Right? Or let's just call it what it is. If you believe this assembly is important, and you believe rightly dividing the Word is important, and you believe it's important to know the truth so that others can see the truth and not die and go to hell, then you'll do it. Right? If you don't care, it'll make itself evident. And you'll find yourself one day being ashamed of not knowing how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. Because the only way you're going to get it is not by coming here. You're going to get it by studying. That's the only way you're going to get it. That's the only way you're going to get it. Make it important because it should be important.